Welcome back to the Reading and Writing Podcast. My guest today is Kirsten Hall, author of Second Spear, Book 2 in the McCallis Cycle. Writer Max Gladstone wrote about Kirsten's first book, A Labyrinth of Demons, Dead Gods, Cranky Psychopumps, and Broken All Too Human Lives. Hall is by turns wry and lush, genuine and venomous. So can I have the next one already? Kirsten, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Well, if someone listening hasn't yet heard about your new novel, Second Spear, how would you describe the novel?
Second Spear is a sequel to The Border Keeper, which came out in 2019. And I would say it's sort of a weird epic fantasy, but in a smaller form. So it's about 300 pages, roughly. It's longer than The Border Keeper, but it's still a shortish novel. And it follows Tin, who is a sort of the bodyguard to one of the rulers of the realms of the dead. And she's navigating some personal emotional difficulties after the events of The Border Keeper, and also some larger sort of political and violent conflicts within the world itself. So it's very much her coming to terms with both herself and trying to make the world a slightly better place. Yeah.
That's great. And I'm curious, do you remember the original idea or impetus that led you to write Second Spear and before that Border Keeper, the two books in the McCallis cycle?
Second Spear very much emerged out of The Border Keeper. So The Border Keeper was heavily inspired by road trips through southern Namibia. That's where my mom comes from. So that's somewhere I've traveled quite extensively. And I was very taken by the landscapes of like the deserts and the salt pans, and the ships in the desert, which do appear in The Border Keeper. So that was the inspiration for The Border Keeper. And then while I was writing The Border Keeper, Tin was one of the secondary characters. She's quite pivotal in ways that I won't spoil, but she was never a protagonist. And while I was writing her, I was having a lot of fun. And I think that probably comes across in the pages where she's present. And I wanted to, dig into her a bit more. So I asked my editor very nicely if I could write another book in the series, and she graciously said yes. So I got to play in that sandbox a little more.
Yeah. And are you planning on writing more novels in the series?
I would love to. It's up to my publisher. So Second Spear, it does not end on a cliffhanger, but it ends in such a way that there are definitely conflicts, personal and romantic, that are unresolved. And if I were to write a third in the McCallis cycle, those are some that I would like to dig into some more.
That's great. Well, I know you've worked as a first reader for Beneath Ceaseless Skies magazine. As someone reading the slush pile of submitted manuscripts and stories, are there common mistakes that you see writers making in those stories?
Yes, but less than you'd think. The thing about the slush pile is that it's not as bad as people make it out to be. Like, generally, the submissions you receive, or at least that I receive, are of a much higher quality than I think people would assume. So it's not a case of sort of everything is bad and you get one story that you can sort of meld into being acceptable. It's more a case of mostly everyone is good and you have to choose which story is the most exceptional for publication. So mostly the slush reading is actually quite enjoyable for me. In terms of common mistakes, I would say don't set a story starting in a tavern if you can help it. just distinguish yourself from the rest of the pile. And also pay attention to the submission guidelines for a magazine. Beneath Ceaseless Skies is particularly interested in character-driven fiction. So if you have a strong character focus in your story, you're more likely to sell that piece to us in particular.
And I'm curious about your own writing process. Are you someone who outlines your novels extensively before you write the first page, or do you just kind of dive into the narrative and see where it takes you?
I'm someone who should outline novels extensively before they start writing them. Well, the fact that I actually do it is a different matter entirely. I think that I have been someone who's more inclined to just jump in and sort of like, I'll plan it later, it'll be fine. Increasingly, I'm trying to be more of an outliner. I find that when I do outline, my stories end up taking less time to write and end up being tidier in the end. So that's definitely something that I'm working on. And I think I'm getting better at it. I hope so.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Well, what writing advice would you offer to those who are working on their own stories or novels?
Yeah, I think that it helps to sort of embrace your own idiosyncrasies and your own voice. So for me, that just meant leaning into being as weird as I wanted to be in terms of the content of my work, and also being honest and authentic. And risking being vulnerable in the work that I produce. I think that putting something of yourself into your stories makes them better, or at least it does for me.
Sure. And I'm curious. I mean, I think that many writers, as they're struggling to find their writing voice, or I should say they do struggle to find their writing voice. What was that process like for you of trying to write stories that felt authentic to you?
Well, I have a terrible weakness for cleverness. Like, I like stories that sort of like surprise me or do like an impressive twist. And that was something I tried to emulate for a long time, and still do. I'm an absolute sucker for a last minute, like shock, gasp, horror twist. but I think it was more about coming to realize that it's okay to expose something of myself. And that was a realization that was like brought home again quite recently, and that I was at Clarion West until about a week ago, actually. And I just found that being in a community of other writers at a similar stage in their careers, it was so reassuring that when I wrote something that I thought was too much or out there or too like gross or disgusting or like what am I like terrible things in my fiction, there was still a readership and people sort of still supported and enjoyed what I was producing, which I wasn't counting on, but which I found quite touching.
Well, I know that in the science fiction and fantasy writing communities, the Clarion Writing Workshop experience is almost legendary. What was your experience of Clarion West that you just came back from?
Oh, it was lovely. I've never had a writing community like that before, being quite remote where I am. So it was immensely like reassuring to be amongst people who sort of understood you. You felt like for 6 weeks, these people get me, we're interested in the same sort of weird, obscure science fiction and fantasy, and like have the same hang-ups and the same nonsense inside us. So to be a part of that and to feel like, okay, if I trust fall back on these people, they're going to catch me. That was like revelatory to me. I found it. I already miss them. So it's only been like a week. But yeah, it made a big difference. It really revealed to me that I can lean into what I want to write and into what I feel passionate about. And that people will still see me and accept me for that.
And so how many short stories did you end up writing during the workshop?
Well, we were supposed to write 5, but I wrote 6. We wrote 1 a week. And that also means you had to read all 17 other students' work every week. And my class just happened to be a class that wrote really long. One student handed in 22,000 words on a submission, and we very nearly killed them.
Wow.
You end up reading a lot. I think in the end, we wrote just under 500,000 words in total for all of our stories. We hope that that's a record. We're not sure.
Well, what books have you read recently that you enjoyed?
I've mostly been reading my classmates' work. Before that is a bit of a haze, I call it. Okay, well, at the moment, I'm reading The Last Unicorn, which I'm enjoying. It was a book that was recommended during the workshop for the prose, and I'm really enjoying the prose. It is indeed very pretty. I also have a lot of Martha Wells fantasy books lined up, and Lewis McMaster Bujold's. I've bought a lot of books in America. My poor suitcase, like I was over the weight allocation, and like the lovely lady at the airport just sort of looked at me and was like, okay, carry on. And I was like, oh, thank goodness. So I'm reading that. I'd really like to read Locklands, which is the third installment in the Foundry Side. I'm not actually sure if it's called the Foundry Side. It is the Foundry Side trilogy. By Robert Jackson Bennett, because I'm a huge fan of his work, but I don't have that one yet. So maybe for my birthday.
That's great. Well, where can people find you online if they'd like to learn more about you and your new novel, Second Spear?
I have a website. It's just kirstenhall.com. And there I have a newsletter, which I send out once a month. And they're welcome to subscribe to that.
Wonderful. Well, again, we've been speaking with Kirsten Hall, author of Second Spear, book 2 in the McCallis cycle. The novel is available now, so go buy a copy. And Kirsten, thanks for doing this interview.
Thank you for having me.
Great.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.